This morning we will consider Psalm chapter 33. Psalm 33. Hear the words of the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, this morning we must reckon with the fact that you indeed are the only one who ought to be praised, dear God. And we pray this morning that even as we consider this psalm, that the lips of the righteous, of the elect, of those who have been saved through our Lord Jesus Christ will not be silent, but that praise will come from our lips. There is much indeed to praise you, Lord, for there is indeed a great deal that you have done in our midst. And we agree with the psalmist that all praise, all honor, and all glory is yours. And so help us. Help us to hear your word. Help us to glean from this text what you have for us. That we may, O Lord, continue to be in awe of you, making new songs, praising your holy name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. This psalm, my friends, is one that ought to resonate with us, particularly this morning. For we have done the very thing that the psalmist is calling the congregation to do. We have sang songs to God. We have exalted him. But I might add that that is what we ought to do. And indeed, as the psalmist says, the righteous ought to praise him. They ought to worship God. This is right, he says. It is fitting for them to worship him. The people of God are not silent. They are not quiet. For the mighty deeds of God are unveiled and made known to them. Moreover, they are known to them this side of heaven, on this earth, this fallen, sinful world. God has revealed his perfect, holy, righteous, good will to mankind. And in the midst of that, he has taken some and called him his. And amongst that number, they will sing new songs to him. They will honor the Lord as they ought. The psalmist says to the congregation that with their instruments, let them give thanks to God and make new songs for him who is to be praised. He goes on to give reasons for why God should be praised and how the Lord has ordained all things that shall come to pass. Nothing, my friends, is outside the scope of God. His gaze discerns all, he knows all, and he sees all. Ultimately, all that has breath must be in awe of him, for the mightiest deeds of humanity will fade in comparison to the power of God. And as the psalmist concludes the psalm, he ends it with hope, the hope of the righteous, which resides in the steadfast love of God, which is their salvation. And so let us consider the first three verses. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. There comes the exhortation. Proper praise, true praise, is to be rendered to God alone. The psalmist is right in exhorting the righteous to make joyful music to the Lord. Music. Something perhaps to us that is in this world common. But yet it is that medium by which God's people praise him. They will sing new songs. They are gifted in this manner. There is beauty in music. And the most beautiful expression of it is in the worship of God. Consider this. There may be a song that captivates you. Your affections are drawn to it. But also consider this. God, our Creator, gave us that ability to make music that would be pleasant to us, that would soothe us, that would comfort us, encourage us perhaps. But also, that music which we ought to be making, my friends, do not mistake it for one moment. It is not for our glory. It ought to be for His glory. There is pleasure in music. It is for us. It is given by God that there would be musicians. But also, he who is kind to his elect enables them to make sweet music. One that would evoke those affections that they have for the Lord. The covenant people of God who reside in the steadfast love of God must engage in the making of music to God. Through music, the joy of the righteous in the steadfast love of God is expressed as they endeavor to render unto God what is rightfully His. They will praise Him. They will adore Him. We read that in our confession this morning. That is the response of being chosen and called by God. We will praise Him, my friends. The covenant people of God are no strangers to singing songs as they worship God. For example, they sing songs as God delivers them from the Egyptians in Exodus chapter 15. just to give you a bit of a glimpse of that, hear the words of Moses in Israel. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Music and song, as I've said, are a means by which the people of God can praise him. It is a medium through which the innermost affections of the righteous can be conveyed unto God. It is also not an accident that many of the Psalms are written by David, whom the scriptures tell us was a skillful musician. So as you read those Psalms, as you engage with them, that is song. That is song meant to praise God, to give thanksgiving, to cause you to reflect upon him who stands before all things, him who is preeminent and supreme, the maker of all things, the one who is the salvation of the righteous. The psalmist continues on. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Herein is the first reason for praising the Lord. It is for his word, which the psalmist says is upright. By his word, the Lord has shown the righteous these attributes, namely his faithfulness, righteousness, and justice. We can know something of God by the word which he has revealed and given to us. As the Lord has spoken in time, he has shown the world his steadfast love. Moreover, the psalmist reminds the congregation of what the Lord has done by his word. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. He has made all things in heaven. He has set the border of the sea, and its vastness and depth is measured by his word. Perhaps you could think of Job when you hear those words as God answers him through and in the midst of his trial. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? God says to Job. It is he who by his word spoke and it came to be. It is he who restrains the ocean from swallowing us up right now, from the deeps rising up and taking us away. It is he who by his might and his benevolence gives us the opportunity to come to him together, to sing praises to him. This is not lost on the psalmist. In verse 8, he continues on, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. In light of all of this, all peoples on earth must be in awe of God. For the righteous, this is the proper response to all God has revealed to them by his word. However, by the evil and wickedness of sin, we know that mankind is not mindful of God. That is plain and evident to us. Nor do we revere him as we ought. even as the ones who've been called and saved by Him. We do not love the Lord as we ought. The law of God is right. He alone is the one who ought to be praised. He alone is the one whom we ought to love with all our being. He alone is the one who we ought to revere and honor always. And yet, by our sin, we must admit that we cannot do this. We have never done this. From our conception, we have never loved God and worshipped Him as we ought. And yet it comes from His word to praise Him. What then? What ought to be the response of mankind? There ought to be awe. This awe rests on this, that God has spoken and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. This world remains, my friends. This earth stands. The righteous and the unrighteous live and breathe, all governed and ordained by God. They're held together by the word of God. We do not stray or go anywhere without His permission. What seems common to us, what seems ordinary perhaps, what we do every day, waking up, a simple act, open your eyes, get out of bed. Simple, right? Anybody should be able to do that. But all of that rests upon God's mercy for the unbeliever and for the believer. How is it that we can walk downstairs and not trip and break our necks as we come to church? All because of Him. So there should be and ought to be rightfully an awe of God at every moment. But like I said, our feeble minds, our feeble hearts, we're easily veiled. We forget. We look over. We presume upon the goodness and patience of God. That all these things simply pass us by. So hear these words, and may they remain with you. The second reason for praising God is given in verses 10 through 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. The Lord ought to be praised because of His will. The Lord is preeminent over all things, including all rulers and nations on earth. All that God has ordained will prevail, and mankind in their efforts shall not stand in the way of God's counsel. Life continues, but all of it happens because He ordains it. He permits it. It is all in accordance to His holy, righteous, and just will. The way of man is temporary and easily frustrated, but the way of God is everlasting. Ultimately, he who loves righteousness and justice, who is always faithful and steadfast in love, looks upon mankind and blesses some by choosing them as his heritage. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. There we get it. Now we see God is a redeemer. He is the one who works in this fallen world and saves some. He calls them his people. He redeems them. Indeed, God has chosen Israel and made covenants with them. To them, he has revealed his will and guided them from Abraham through Moses and established them as his chosen people on the earth. This is where the context in which we find this psalm. The nation Israel is established. it is on the earth. All by God's will. All for His purposes and for His glory. Therefore, praise ought to be their response. Continuing on, verses 13 through 19, the Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Therein is the third reason for praising God. The gaze of the Lord discerns all things on the earth. He knows the hearts of those whom He has made and understands their deeds. It may be vexing to us. It is indeed frustrating to us when we see evil prevail on this earth. But do not forget that God sees it all. He discerns it all. He knows it all. What shocks us is not shocking to God. The might of mankind cannot and will not save them, nor can their strength provide hope to them. The works of mankind will not endure, and any power or might that they may find on the earth is given and governed by Him. The king and his mighty army does not exist unless the Lord allows it. Nothing, my friends, it's outside the will of God. Nothing. So in all our endeavors, in all our toilings, all our labors, as we persist and continue to live in this world and see all the things that there are, nations and their might, leaders and all their bravado, men in their pride of life pursuing their own interests, the futility of it all is this: they plot in vain. The wicked will not prevail. Sin will not withstand God's justice and His righteousness. Kingdoms come and go, nations rise and fall, leaders come and they go. But who remains? God. He remains. His word endures. It perseveres. That's how we're here today. The psalmist proclaimed these things thousands of years ago. And here we are, having been given and received this word, which we have believed. Think on that for a moment. Consider those things. How great are the deeds of God, that He would preserve His very word, pour out His redemption upon the world, call some and say they are His, that they would persist and remain as His chosen righteous ones. And so the question comes, where is mankind's salvation? Where is their hope? Verses 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. Who looks from heaven? God does. He has loved us. That is the title given to this psalm, God's steadfast love. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love. That is mankind's salvation. That is their hope. The Lord is indeed with those who fear Him, who do not trust in their own might, but hope for His steadfast love. The mighty things of this earth, that which we may esteem, they do not save. They will not endure. And so we must rest and reside upon that which God is doing and has done, which again we are told is by and through His steadfast love. The righteous look upon God for the deliverance of their souls from death. The Lord preserves those who fear Him through even the fiercest of hardships, famine, something that is foreign to us. But lack of food, lack of water, things that we take every day, open your refrigerator, there's food in there, turn on your tap, there's water. Scarcity in our day, perhaps, even in our context, is something that we're not accustomed to. But the scriptures are showing that even in the greatest lack, God is still faithful. Even in our deepest struggle, God is still faithful. He sees you, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and He holds you. He is the one who is faithful. Mankind will betray you. Mankind will fail you. But God does not. God does not fail you, dear brothers and sisters. The conclusion of this psalm, the psalmist writes, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You." As the righteous heed the psalmist's call to praise the Lord, they respond with the affirmation that their trust and hope is in God alone. The Lord has blessed His people by being their help and shield, and has made their hearts glad in Him by His steadfast love for them. The righteous understand that all that the Lord has done and revealed brings them to rest their souls upon Him. There is rest in the arms and the sight of God. And so the people will rejoice and sing praises to God as they abide in His steadfast love. My friends, as the psalmist has declared, there is much to praise the Lord for. Indeed, unto God shall all praise be given, for this is right. God has worked through covenants to reveal His redemptive purposes to the world. And in doing so, He has revealed His steadfast love to mankind, particularly to the elect. Moreover, the Lord has worked through time to establish salvation for all whom He has chosen. The steadfast love of God is revealed, my friends, through Christ. Christ is the exact demonstration of the depth and vastness of the love and faithfulness of God. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 2 for a moment. Luke chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. Here we find the presentation of the incarnate Son of God, and the heavens are opened. And the heavenly host rejoice and praise God. And this is what is heard. And in the same region, the there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. There's the awe. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Dear brothers and sisters, need a reason to praise God? Good news has come. Christ has come. He is revealed. We have heard him. We have seen him. Therefore, rejoice, O blessed ones. Heed the psalmist's exhortation and praise our God for his faithfulness to us. This is what the Lord has done. This is what he determined to do before the foundation of the world. This is his glory. He who has made all things by his word and governs everything by his will, he who thwarts the evil of mankind and aspires to save forever his elect, ought and will be praised. On this side of heaven, God will be praised, my friends. Consider the one who has done this perfectly for his people. The words of this psalm are fulfilled by Christ. If there was one who praised God and glorified God exactly, it is Christ. It is he who is our Redeemer, the one whom we sing great praises to. Therefore, our faith is not in vain. Our hope is not misplaced, for our trust is in Christ the righteous. The faithfulness and steadfast love of God is revealed in Christ. For God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for his chosen people. Through the obedience of Christ, all righteousness has been fulfilled. Through the sufferings and humiliation of Christ, the ungodly can be saved. Forever. By the redeeming word of Christ, the elect are reconciled to God and made sons of the Most High. Oh, what marvelous deeds God has done through his Son Jesus Christ. Moreover, the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. His name is above every name. And at his name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. Of Christ, the scriptures also speak of his supremacy and preeminence. Consider these words from Hebrews chapter 1. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Verse 8, but of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." And, verse 10, "You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands." This psalm is being repeated Again, in the book of Hebrews. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Christ is the same. He is eternal. He is the one whom we rightly worship and glorify. He is exalted. He is God. Christ is crowned with glory and honor, this glory which he has had from all eternity. The New Testament rightly exalts Christ, just as the psalmist exalts him in this psalm. All that is spoken of by the psalmist pertaining to God is all that Christ is. He is God, very God, unchanging in his being. Consider the revelation of Christ. See the Lord that is here for you, dear saint. Heed his words. The psalm is given for your hearing this day. Be glad and rejoice. Make a new song unto him who is your God forever. Praise him on the side of heaven, and believe me, he who endures forever will be praised for all eternity. Rejoice, dear brothers and sisters, in Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Will your hearts be made glad? Will you rejoice at his marvelous work? And this is what the steadfast love of God looks like unto us. Who even now, though we struggle and we suffer and we are perplexed and frustrated, the faithfulness of God is this. You, dear beloved, have an everlasting help, one that is faithful and whose steadfast love is upon you. If there's one thing you'll remember from this psalm, it is that the steadfast love of God is upon those whom he has chosen, those whom he loves, those whom fear him. The hope that the psalmist anticipated in the writing of this psalm is the hope that we in this new covenant age, my friends, have realized. What they waited for, we have seen and we have heard and we have received. And right now we're participating in what God has done and accomplished. Christ is your hope, and you are God's forever. You are his. Indeed, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So rest your minds, rest your hearts. Believe him who has come and lived among men, suffered many trials, been vilified, and yet he has clothed us in his righteousness, in his care, and said we are his for all eternity. Let us pray. Gracious Father, again we must commend the fact that your goodness is evident. It is evident that even in this time and in this place, your word is clear, that we have received from you a most excellent gift, the revelation of Christ. That you, O Lord, are glorified in that, the redemption of mankind is secured by him who dwelt with you and has always been with you before there was time. That indeed the righteous, those whom you've called your church, cannot be quiet. they will not be silenced. For there is indeed praise and honor coming from our lips. Thanksgiving. There is awe. And Lord, we know that you know that we are frail and we are forgetful and we indeed do get easily frustrated. We grow weary. But praise be to you, dear God, that you are not like us. You do not grow weary. You do not relent. You are always faithful and steadfast and righteous and just. You simply are. And so this is the context in which we find ourselves coming to that throne of grace, exalting you in our feebleness, knowing that even that faith which you've given us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in him, is exactly what we need. That small measure still glorifies you. Be with us, Lord, as we continue on in the worship of you on this day, the Lord's day. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen.